Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk.
New album is in production. I'm starting to write more new music again already.
All right.
And I'm headed to Georgia this coming month in between festivals to record an album that I got to write for a group called the Night Travelers, a concept album. So, I mean, things have been busy, creative, and just really, really magical. Amazing.
Cool. All right, well, before we get too deeply into what's going on and coming up, there might be one or two or three people out there listening tonight that are not familiar with Brian Hinkey. So why don't you let those few people know a little bit about who you are and, that sort of thing.
Okay, well, we talked about this before, and I just want to answer saying yes.
Thanks, Brian.
Sorry about that. I had to. I'm a musician. I'm, primarily known as a guitar player, though I'm also a singer-songwriter and do some producing for other people, too. I live in Northeast Ohio. I play quite a few Pagan Fests and all kinds of other festivals as well. I know a lot of Pagan musicians play mainly in the Pagan world, and I play out in the mundane world at the same time. And I do this for a living, and I love what I do. I love playing music. I love playing guitar and singing and, you know, all of it that goes with it. I'm one very, very lucky human being.
Well, very cool. So how long have you been performing professionally?
Oh, boy. My first gig was at 17. I've been playing guitar since, it'll be 50 years I've been playing guitar a year from today.
Wow.
So I've been playing a long, long time. And I've been into all kinds of different kinds of music, too. And one of the things about this new album is I expanded a little bit from where people, you know, most people know me into realms of my past. I brought some of that in, too. I've got some electric guitar on the new album. And a lot of people, you play electric guitar? And a lot of people that, you know, were used to hearing me play just, you know, instrumental stuff. So, you sing? I'm having a very good time, you know, bringing all this back together, and I feel a lot more complete by doing this. I mean, I really loved everything that I've done, you know, up till now. All the just instrumental acoustic stuff has been a blast, but you know, I listened to my muse, and my muse said to go and and add more on, and that's what I've done.
Awesome, that's wonderful.
So when you played that first gig at 17, what kind of what style of music was it? What were you doing back then?
It was rock. It was, you know, early 70s stuff, extended jams. I remember, I joined the band the night before our first gig. We practiced all day, and then we had the gig that night. And they liked me because I could play really fast and in key.
Uh-huh. That's quite a talent there.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, very cool. And so it was like a rock cover band, or what was the...
Yeah, I think they had some originals, but, you know, I mean, I mean, back in those days, I was writing, you know, chord progressions, but I wasn't really writing songs yet. I mean, I remember I was writing poetry, and it hadn't all come together yet as songs. I mean, I was still pretty young. And it started to come together as songs more, you know, in my, you know, very late teens and early 20s. And I was telling somebody, you know, I'd say probably about 99% of what I've written, I've forgotten. Because over the years, you know, almost 50 years of playing, you know, that's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when did you perform your first song that you had written?
Ooh, that's a good one. I can honestly say I don't remember. It'd be like trying to remember the names of all the bands I was in back then. You know, I can remember the really awful ones. The first band I was ever in was called Trip Hammer. I thought that is a stupid name, but I had no say in it.
Fair enough.
I remember that name.
So where was your progression? I mean, you started off doing, you know, like rock cover stuff, and
as a guitarist, I started off with acoustic guitar. You know, I'm self-taught. And, you know, and I can remember when I was, like, you know, 13, 14 years old, spending my summers on the farm in Highland, Illinois, and I'd sit on the fence or wherever, and sometimes I'd be playing to the pigs on one side of the fence and the dog and cats on the other side. they were a very good audience. But it was all acoustic.
Hey, as long as they stuck around to listen, this is a good start.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether they were listening to me or just, you know, they were hoping I'd feed them. I'm not sure. But they didn't complain anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't start playing electric guitar until my very first band. I was 17, and I used a borrowed Gibson Melody Maker. Actually, I take it back. I wasn't 17. I was 16. And I'm trying to remember all this, you know, logically. because it was the summer that I was 17 that I earned the money for the Gibson Les Paul that I still have to this day.
Wow.
I bought a 71 Gibson Les Paul used.
Wow. Nice guitar. Amazing you hung on to it all these years. Good for you.
Yeah, I've hung on to it all these years. It's a great sounding guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So what was, you know, again, returning to what was the progression of your music as you, you know, went from, you know, playing in, you know, other people's bands to doing your own music? And
it all just seemed so logical, you know. It was just one band into the next, and I started writing more, and I started singing. I can remember the first song I sang with a band was Nights in White Satin. I really loved that song. And the other guitar player taught me the chords, and I learned the words, and I just loved that. And then, you know, later was, early 20s. I mean, those are a little foggy at the times. I started writing more and more stuff and singing. And one of the interesting things is a song that we talked about that you'll be playing later. I actually started writing back in those days. It was a different song. But the chord progression, for some reason, I remembered. And I saw a photo of myself sitting on that fence on the farm with my daughter Angel next to me. She was just like 3 or 4. She's sitting next to me on the fence, and actually looking at it, she probably wasn't very happy about being there. But I remember the song that I was playing, and when I saw the photo, I remember that. I started fooling around with the chords and rewrote it into the song we'll be hearing later, The Raven King.
Yeah.
So I mean,
very cool.
Yeah, there's bits and pieces of everything that all kind of flows together, you know. I mean, if you can imagine, you know, I've been playing music for almost 50 years, and it's just, you know, little bits and pieces of things, you know, are still there that, you know, were there way back when, and then, of course, there's always new stuff coming to me as well. Like, I'll come up with a new sound, new chord, new way of playing, like an A minor. And then who knows, that's what new way of playing that A minor may find its way into several songs, you know, depending on,
right,
on what I'm looking for. And a lot of times the chords, I don't even know what the heck they are. I don't care, especially when I'm doing like straight finger style instrumental stuff, because I don't have to communicate it to anybody else other than myself. And since I know what I'm playing, I don't have to say, yeah, that's an F flat sharp demented. So, I did have somebody, this is funny, I was at the Walnut Valley Fest last year, and I was playing a ninth fret chord harmonic with a D in it. You know, I was forming like a D major seventh with an open E. And this guy who had just graduated music school wrote down the name of the chord, and it was 2 lines long. And I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. What's really amazing is that he can figure that out.
Well, I mean, how many strings are there? I mean, I'm trying to, you know.
On that guitar, there's only 6. On the harp guitar, the big harp guitar, there's 27. But because harmonics, you know, do weird things to your notes, and especially if you go down to the ninth fret, which is like in between, if you just hit it open, it's like really dissonant. But if you form a chord around it, it can make some really amazing sounding chords.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking there's only 6 strings, and he's got 2 lines of a name for this chord. It's just...
Yeah, exactly. That's... Yeah, we're getting into pretty heavy guitar geekdom here.
Yeah. That's all right. You know, it's our show. So, so I mean,
now,
you're
would be,
our
we
guest,
would be in
our
the
show,
ultimate guitar geekdom
out,
if I could remember the name of the chord.
Yeah, that would have been ultimate guitar geekdom. But if you have it written down somewhere, you can email it to us later, you know.
Yeah,
it on the page.
I know how to play it, so I mean that's all I need.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So when did you get your first album out as Brian Hinkey?
It was 1997, and it was the album Many Waters. It was my first solo instrumental album. Before that, you know, anything that had come out had been on cassette tape. You know, CDs were like a new thing back then. I joke with people. I say I've been recording since, you know, it was before magnetic tape had been invented, and we were using ectoplasmic echoes in old stone walls.
Yeah, setting a laser stylus on the grooves in
right.
the pottery that was spun in the ancient days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I guess my other question that has been a curiosity of mine, and you know, is how long have you been pagan, and when did that influence start coming into your music and your performing?
Well, you know, I think most people that were before they knew they were. You
yeah.
know, I never specifically identified myself as anything in particular, and I still don't to a certain degree. I tell people, no, I'm heathen, but you know, everybody has a different connotation for whatever words they hear you say you are. So I generally just tell people that I belong to the Church of the Holy Bag, that I'm sacrilegious.
Oh.
Because that covers everything, and it offends everybody equally.
Mhm. Seems fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If
very PC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what is it they
yeah.
say? The ultimate compromise is when everybody's equally unhappy.
Mhm.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
my way of expressing the divine is through the music. And, you could say, okay, it's all earth-based because, you know, everything is based on nature, at least especially all the instrumental stuff. But it goes beyond that because I consider, you know, all the entire cosmos as part of nature. And supernatural is something that, you know, just harder to understand in nature, but it's still part of nature. So, you know, to fall into any particular path, you know, that has been laid out before me doesn't make much sense because just of the way that I look at things. And so what I do is I write these songs and I play these songs and I express myself in the best way that I can and try to let people know how I feel about all these things. And so far I've been pretty lucky because people seem to get it. And if they don't get it, at least they're enjoying it.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, is if they're enjoying it, then, you know, it's all about your expression anyway.
Yeah,
and they're
exactly.
You're just sharing it with them. So,
right.
All right. Now, Robin, I know you had a couple of questions that I was just blowing on past and you were trying to speak, and I apologize.
No, I think you pretty much hit on a lot of them. The one thing I was going to ask, and this has become a topic for discussion recently among some friends of mine. I think you said you taught yourself, so I think I already know the answer to this, but you didn't go to a music specialty high school or college, did you?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
I went to a public high school. I skipped college, and I hitchhiked around the country with my guitar.
So that was your college education?
I was... Yeah, I was a bit of a tumbleweed when I was younger. In high school, it was back in the early 70s, and we didn't have study halls. We had free periods and an open campus. So I wasn't at school very much. I can remember the drummer in my first band used to come and pick me up right after homeroom, and we got cut classes for most of the day, and we'd go jam at this little house they had on Clark Avenue in Cleveland.
So you and I went
and
to the
he
same,
dropped me back off at school afterwards.
High school.
Yeah, I was not a very
too.
Good student.
Yeah. I was having way too much fun to keep all the
Yeah, I mean, all
cool.
I cared about was music. And I felt, mm-hmm. well, hey, I'm good, so I'll be a rock star. You know, that was my plan.
Yeah.
Well, slightly
good
naive.
Plan.
But
yeah. Good plan. Oh, you've come closer than a lot of people. Most people who have that plan out of high school wind up working in McDonald's for the rest of their life, so you did pretty good for yourself.
Well, I think back into those days, I mean, there were a lot of musicians. We all wanted to play guitar. We all wanted to be the Beatles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I only know one other guy from my high school days that is still playing and that is making a living at it. And he's a great jazz bassist, you know, here in Cleveland named Dallas Poffy. You know, other than that, I don't know of anybody that's out there, you know, doing it for a living other than him and myself. I'm sure there's probably others that I just don't know about, but that's all that I know from the circle of people I was hanging with.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you achieved that. I mean, you're making a living doing what you love. And
that
you know,
in and
people,
of itself is remarkable. Yeah, I know. I'm really lucky
that
I'm able to do this.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I for the most part, I love my job. I love what I do. And it makes a difference when you're out there in the world, you know? And
it's
different, but...
Well, you know, I'd say that's about anything where, you know, music business is an oxymoron because one has nothing to do with the other until you decide you want to start getting paid for it. So... But music and business have nothing in common. It's just, you know, the business comes in saying, oh, I think I'd like to not have another job and I want to do music all the time instead and be a better musician, so you have to do the business then. And there's certain things in business that just, you know, are a pain. You know, I wish very, very much that I had a transporter and didn't have to drive. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait.
My
for
Star Trek fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would be home more and still doing what I love. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please disintegrate me and reintegrate me somewhere else.
Yeah,
travel time sucks.
That 24 hours of traveling back from Dubai wouldn't exist. It would be, you know, I'm home now. I could do that.
You could imagine how it would change the world if you could travel anywhere instantly.
Yeah, if somebody probably figured what
socially
it
would
up.
Change. It would, socially, I mean, everything would change because you know, people who are 24 hours away now would be our neighbors.
Yeah.
It would change culture absolutely.
Yeah,
it would become a world culture.
Yeah. I mean, immigration wouldn't be an issue because poof, I'm here. You know,
look how much
poof,
the world has
home.
Changed just due to the fact that we can go to some place like Dubai in 24 hours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, 300 years ago, that would have been laughable to think that you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all cultures were even further apart than they are today. And now, the thing that seems to hold cultures apart the most is stupidity.
Yeah, fear. Yeah.
Which there is,
it really comes
there has never been
fear.
A shortage of. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
I'm afraid
I have this theory
so destroy it.
Ignorance plus arrogance equals stupidity. If you're ignorant about something, you don't know about it, but you're too arrogant to learn or you're too arrogant to look at the truth, then you are stupid.
Yeah, because ignorance
is. So it doesn't matter how high your IQ, anybody's capable of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because ignorance is not knowing, and you can solve that if you want to. If you want to.
Arrogance
I agree. Stupidity is the unwillingness to learn.
Right. So stupidity is a choice, and people choose to be stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many people do we all know that have never been, 50 miles away from where they, where they were born? And want to talk about the world? It's like, please.
Well, I read it on the internet.
Yeah. How about get on an airplane and go there? Then
I saw
come back
on the
and
news.
Tell me all about it. Yeah.
I saw it on Fantasy Island. I know all about it.
there we are.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned the song that we're going to play here in just a few minutes, the Raven King. And you had mentioned that this was all, some of the chord progressions and such go back a few decades. Would you share with us the story of this song and how it
came
about?
Sure. It was originally called "She's Going Away," and it had a completely different, idea, except the way that it opens. I picture this young woman out at night under a moon, with a basket of flowers, and she tosses them into the river. And she sends her dreams to the Raven King, and she sings her dreams. And its dreams are what, fill the wings of the raven that the Raven King flies on. So she's singing to him. I'm not sure exactly why, but this is what she feels she needs to do. That is the crux of the song, is singing the dreams to the Raven King. When we get, into the song, a little further, we get through the verses and through Ginger Ackley's beautiful Celtic flute solo, because it's all acoustic at that point, I sing the words, "She sings," and the choir comes in. And I got this amazing choir. I a lot of local people who came in and laid down tracks, some of them up to, 4 and 5 tracks each. And then I've got wave files, which means people can record it from a distance and send me the files over the internet. I got wave files from Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Ginger Doss, and Lynn Sanders from Burning Sage lives here in Northeast Ohio when he's able to come down and sing live. So I've got all these incredible singers on this, and they just start singing, which is really, really amazing for me because, hearing it back, because that's what I'd always envisioned. And then I get to play the part of the Raven after they've been singing for a little bit and play an electric guitar solo. And this is really digging back into my roots from back when I was like 17, this just really, kind of bluesy, Jimmy Page, David Gilmour-ish, Phil Keaggy-ish. Stevie Ray Vaughan-ish kind of, lead guitar solo. And, I had so much fun doing it. I, matter of fact, I went into this, when I was recording it, I didn't want to pre-plan it too much because I wanted the emotions to be really raw. And I wanted it like, that real gut feeling that you get from the best, guitar, sax, or whatever kind of solos. I didn't want to plan it out note for note in advance. And there were some parts I can still remember where it just totally caught me by surprise. I didn't know that I was going to do a particular thing. There's a real high bend where I start coming down on another note, and I've never, ever played that sequence of notes anywhere near like that before. It was just so much fun. And it was all done, in less than 30 minutes, the whole guitar solo, everything was all recorded, probably less than 15, I think about it. But now, of course, I need to sit down and learn it note for note so that I've got it all locked into my head because I really love the way it sounds. And, it's like anything that you start, hearing over and over and over again. When you do it live or hear it live, you want to hear it the way that it was with not too many changes.
Yeah. All right, so now you got to go play it live and play what you recorded.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
A conundrum every electric guitarist that's ever been has had to deal with it to a certain extent.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, very cool. When we come back, I want to talk about how much the theme of dreams enters into your music because it seems like the last time we talked, you were talking about dreams as well, so...
Oh, yeah, a whole lot.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the song, after the break. Right now we're going to play The Raven King by our friend Brian Hinkey. Everybody stick around.
Beneath the moon, holding a basket. dressed in black, he flies on the back of a raven between the stars. The breath of her dream, wind for the wings, the beat like the heart of a raven king. The song that she sings for the raven king, clear in the dark like a lover's dream.
now a message from our friends at International Pagan Radio.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And tonight we are joined by Brian Hinkey. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Great, great.
Wow, very, very cool.
That's
got to
be the first time I ever heard that song through the phone.
I was listening to it a couple of times earlier today while I was working from home on my computer and playing a couple of your songs, this one and another one that we had talked about. And I'm just hearing it again, particularly with the story now to go with it, it's even more powerful. So thank you very much for sharing it with us. I know the CD's in production right now, so it's very cool that we got to play it before it even is available on CD. So thank you.
And Brian,
it's so funny. As we're talking right here in Northeast Ohio, there was a huge bunch of thunder overhead at the same time. I know you probably couldn't hear it where you're at, but that's just, to me, kind of a sign. Hello? Are you there? Did I lose you?
I'm still here on the air. I believe we lost them.
Are you back?
Maybe that thunder made it. This is Niv. I don't know what happened. Unbelievable.
Oh.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
So you were getting
Did
thunder.
They disappear?
That means I'll be getting it next. Gee, thanks.
Wow.
That was a good song, though. I've been playing it since I've had it secretly for a little while, and haven't shared it with anybody.
Good, good.
Terry, did you make it back?
Okay, can you hear us now?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, I have no idea what happened. We were
talking
to
you, the thunderclap, you know, overhead. In fact, it's still going on.
Yeah.
I said, that's a sign.
Yeah, it is. So Robin was saying something about.
This you were absolutely right. The song took me back to high school. You know, bands like King Crimson, Gentle Giant. I have a feeling we were probably listening to a lot of that same stuff. But it was just beautiful, awesome. Yeah. Mhm.
Well, thank you.
So before we start wrapping up, I wanted to, and I alluded to this before the break. It seems like dreams are interwoven into the theme of a lot of your songs.
Yeah, you know, it's not like I consciously go there. But
surely I'm not the first person to point this out.
You might be. I don't know. I mean, dreams, you know... Have been a, you know, it was at least on the radio, at least, or that I can remember. It doesn't mean that it's so, because I forget a lot of stuff. But dreams, you know, seem to be interwoven throughout everything. Both for me, it's like both the waking and the sleeping. Sometimes I wake up with a song in my head, and I dreamt it. And sometimes it's something that I've already written. So sometimes it's something that I haven't written yet. I can remember there was a time I was stuck on hold with the phone company for like 20 minutes and with a really awful, you know, hold music in my ear. Mm-hmm. And there had been a song that I'd been working on 2 weeks before and couldn't remember. And, you know, I just remembered that I liked it. And all of a sudden in my left ear, I heard the melody. It was like it was played on some sort of harp. And I looked at the phone and I said two words, which I won't repeat on the radio, and hung up the phone, and went and grabbed my guitar and worked this song out and made sure that I never forgot it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, was that a dream? You know, I mean, the separation between, you know, the dream world and this world is really pretty small.
Yeah, indeed.
And, but, you know, after all, you know, our perceptions have nothing to do with reality. I mean, mm-hmm. we all perceive reality slightly differently from each other from our points of view. So, you know, I like to say reality itself has nothing to do with our perception of it. So what is our perception? Maybe, you know, we're perceiving dreams and maybe they're more real than the reality that we perceive. I don't know. I could talk about this for hours, but fortunately we don't have enough time to bore everybody.
No, that's okay. I mean, I was just remembering the story you told about a song the last time you were with us. I believe it was Man in the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah, I like
the,
that one.
And the concept of dreams, and then a song called "Dream Within a Dream" or something to that effect that you shared with us here on the air. So it just seemed like that theme kept coming up, and I was wondering if that was conscious, if that was something in your deep in your spirituality, or if this was just a coincidence and I'm picking up on it.
Well. You know, I go where the muse tells me to go, you know, and evidently the muse is into dreams, you know. And what do you call it when you're in that state of mind when you're creating something? Is that a dream? Is it somewhere in between a dream and being awake? I mean, why do we choose to live here on Earth in a physical reality and yet we dream at night? And yet, when we want to daydream while we're here, we want to think about something else other than what's going on. So I don't know. You know, it's something that, you know, is very deep and very prevalent. But I don't know if I could properly express it other than through the music itself.
Yeah, fair enough.
And
I just
and your interpretation would be on how you perceive the music.
yeah, it just struck me as you know, something common to every song that we've played of yours here on the air. So just one of those things that my brain picks up on patterns. So anyway, you've got a lot of coming up. And we've been talking about your past, but how about if you could take a couple of minutes and share with us the near future, what's going on?
All right. Well, let me start with April 9th, Sunday. I'm playing the Riverside Music Festival in Cambridge Springs, Pennsylvania. I'm playing there on the last day. It's a whole weekend festival. It's just a music festival. And doing some local shows around this area. And then on the 19th, I'll be at the Florida Pagan Gathering in Lake Wales, Florida, along with Wendy Rule. She's going to be down there for that. That's going to be a blast. That's the 19th through the 23rd. And then immediately following there, I'm driving up to the Atlanta, Georgia area to record an album with the Night Travelers. Night Travelers are a really phenomenal group in that area. Contains probably the best banjo player on earth. His name's James McKinney. And I wrote the album for them. It's a concept album. Of course, I won't be doing any of the vocals on it. This is for them. I'm just going to do guitar work. And I wrote the guitar work so that any guitar player can sit in and play it. It's actually almost all even in standard tuning. So I'm going to record that with them. Byron Ballard is working on the book to go with the concept for the album. So there's a lot going
all right.
on
well,
with that.
Well, you're going to have to share some of that when it comes out.
Yeah, I will. I will. And then straight from there, driving up to Beltane at our Haven in French Lick, Indiana. And I'll be up there with Ginger Hackley and Tuatha Dea. That's going to be fun. And then I'm at Summerlin Spirit Fest at the 9th through the 16th in Turtle Creek, Wisconsin. Sirius Rising in Sherman, New York, the 17th through the 21st. The Fox Valley Taken Music Fest in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the 22nd. The Indiana String Fest in Nashville, Indiana, on the 28th. Cleveland Pagan Pride on the 26th or the 27th. I haven't decided which date yet. That's in Bedford Town Square in Bedford, Ohio. And the Walnut Valley Fest, this huge bluegrass festival that I do the fingerstyle competition for. That's in September. And then the big one, Caldera Pagan Music Fest in Georgia in October, the 5th through the 8th. And there's all kinds of great bands going to be there for that. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that.
And then after that, the only thing I've got big is the Woodchopper's Ball, the big benefits that we put together every year here in Northeast Ohio for the homeless.
Very cool. Well, thank you for being with us tonight. How does somebody get in touch with you?
Well, if you forget everything else and you can remember how to spell my name, just Google me. I'm very easy to find. I'm BrianHankeyGuitarist.com, Facebook.com/BrianHankey9, ReverbNation.com/BrianHankey. I'm very, very easy to find. It doesn't take the FBI to find me, and hopefully they're not looking for me anyway.
Well, they wouldn't have to look very hard either.
No, they wouldn't have to look very hard.
All right. Well, fair enough. Well, thank you for being with us tonight and for sharing the Raven King. What an amazing song! And we're honored that you shared it with us tonight.
Oh, thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, and, the album isn't out yet, so I don't know who's played it and who hasn't. You know, there's a few podcasts and radio shows that have it, but you know, I don't know if it's gotten played yet or not. You may very well have been the first ones to play it. I don't know.
Woohoo! All right, we like premiering songs for people. That's very cool. And again, we are honored that it was shared with us before the CD was even out for sale. So, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for playing it for me. I really do love this song, and it means a lot to me personally. You know, everything that went into it, all the different years and the different things. And then, of course, that choir. I mean, the singers. I mean, every time you have, you know, a good singer or a good musician working with you like that, they're adding their magic and their essence into it. And the people that are on it are just so magical and so amazing that it just lifts everything up even higher. And that's one of the great things about, you know, working with other people is because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's better than the sum of the individual parts, it's magic.
Gestalt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I do look at that song as a magic spell. I really do. It really is a magic spell to me.
Well, again, thank you for sharing it with us and allowing us to share it with all of our listeners. Robin, real quick,
how does
someone get in touch with us?
Ah, well, if you'd like to get in touch with Terry and I, you can reach us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's our email address. Or you can find us on Facebook, Robin A. McKean, or Rev Terry Power HP. That's how you find us.
All right. And my friend's page is Terry Power. And you got to find the one that says something about Spiritual Unity Radio Network, because there are two or three other guys that have the same name and such. So... look for the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. You can also find that Facebook page. So, let's see. And Robin, we're coming up in June, I believe. We are attending a very cool event where people can come out and meet us.
Yes. We're going to be at the Ishtar Festival in central New Jersey, the weekend of June 9, 10, 11, I believe, or it's either 9, 10, 11 or 10, 11, 12, but that weekend. And the Ishtar Fest is actually going to be Sumer Fest this year, which is going to actually be a Sumerian Ren Fair. So you know how you go to a Ren Fair and people dress up like kings and queens and they, you know, play act? This will actually be the Sumerian pantheon of gods instead. And there'll be like a marketplace area, and there'll be classes and vendors, and it's going to be a lot of fun and very unique. There's going to be a Sumerian feast on Saturday night, which is included with admission, and just going to be lots of stuff. It's a family festival. There's a kids track to keep the kids busy so that the parents can actually relax and enjoy and go to classes and you know, network with people and hang out and just have fun. And it's camping on some beautiful private land. So come and join us. And you can find information about Ishtar Fest at handsofchange.org.
Absolutely. And also, just like Ren Fair, you're encouraged to
dress up.
To dress up. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the handsofchange.org website, they will have some garb ideas for you. And there's a prize if you show up in garb, you get a free crescent roll.
A free crescent roll, that's right, because it is
fertile
a fertile
crescent,
right?
Right, yeah. So it is going to be a blast. And have you figured out what part you are getting this?
No, I don't know. I have to talk to Amara about that.
Yeah, because I think I have been assigned Mushdama,
okay.
Who is the builder.
Right.
So should be a great deal of fun. Come out and hang out with a bunch of Sumerians. And there's a full moon ritual on the Friday night, the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 10th, as Robin mentioned, there is the feast. And lots of, I think, little rituals going on throughout the day and just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be several individual altars to different gods and goddesses, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a little bit of education. Hey, how bad can it be?
Yep.
So let's see. And then, of course, we are going to be at Caldera Fest as well. And so I don't know what else we've got going on for the year. I know we're planning a couple of rituals here in the upper central PA area, and those will get announced as we get closer.
Yep.
So, Brian, did you have anything that you wanted to say that we didn't ask you about or didn't cover?
I don't think so. I mean, we could hang out and talk for hours, I'm sure, and discover what we didn't say then. But all in all, yeah, we covered everything that I needed to talk about, and I talked about all my stuff, all the things that I'm doing, and you guys talked about all your stuff that you're doing, and it sounds like we're all going to be having a lot of fun this year.
I mean, it's all fun. I mean, if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be doing it.
Yes, that's true.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there's not fun parts of it, but, you know, that's mostly involving, you know, airplanes and long car rides, so.
Yeah.
And hotel rooms, because, you know, just another four walls with a bed. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Look out
at
the window and the view changes, but not much else.
When it's three walls and a bed, you know, then it's, you know, it's not very private.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Or, you know, one wall and it becomes a silo. So, you know. It's...
Right. I've stayed in some pretty bad hotels, so.
Yeah.
Remind me to share pictures of the leaning toilet at a hotel.
I had one hotel once that had standing water and broken glass in the bathtub, and the faucet was broken.
Wow.
And a Motel 6 once where the light wasn't on. The bulb was burned out.
Cute.
All right, well, Brian, again, thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing everything tonight and just hanging out. This has been fun. I always enjoy when you call in.
Anytime. Maybe we'll talk again before Caldera.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure of it. And we look forward to some information on the concept book and the album, and maybe talking to the band.
Oh yeah, you got to talk to James and Nikki from the Night Travelers too. Yeah, I'll make sure that they give you guys a call. Yeah, and have Byron give you a call as well. Yeah,
okay.
It's gonna be fun.
More the merrier.
All right, great. Well, I appreciate it, and thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to everyone out there that comes around a couple of nights a week and listens to Robin and I talk and share our guests and just hanging out with us. We are here because of you guys, and we're always looking for show topics, ideas that you want to hear us talk about on Tuesday nights. Please feel free to email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com and put something in there about show ideas or topic suggestions or something that will set it apart from the crowd of emails that we get, the 100 or so every day. So with all of that said, I guess there's nothing left except to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.